shall first summarize what I have told you last time about Plato. I told you three small little things. One was Plato was a student of Socrates, and he had already a series of lectures on Socrates already, particularly his theory that he will tell me what was his theory, his doctrine that fill up the blank. Good. His theory that virtue is knowledge. He had spoken of it at length. According to him, in order to be virtuous, you must have knowledge, and knowledge of the highest. Secondly, that you cannot be virtuous unless you have all the virtues united in you. You can't be courageous unless you are benevolent at the same time. You can't be benevolent unless you are truthful at the same time. You can't be truthful unless you are sincere at the same time. It is only when all virtues are united that you can be called virtuous. Till that time you are all limping on the path of virtue, but not yet virtuous. Similarly, you cannot have knowledge unless you have total knowledge. You can't say, I know the world, but I don't know what is soul. I know the soul, but I do not know what is the world. You can't say, I know the world, but I don't know God. I know God, but I don't know the world. As long as you say, I don't know this, it is not yet knowledge. It is only when you have the fullness of knowledge that you can say, I have knowledge. So when you can equate all knowledge on one side and all virtues on the other side, then there is a union, and that is virtue is knowledge. This in substance is what I told you at length last time. So that is the first thing that I have spoken of while introducing to you Plato. The second thing is that Plato is one of the most important things to be learned in regard to the whole story of thought of the world, not only of Greece, to which we belong, not only to Europe, which has inherited Plato so largely, but the history of thought of the whole world. So if you don't know Plato, you cannot know the history of thought. And that is why I have selected for you a special study of Plato. I told you that there is a great philosopher of the present time who wrote a very beautiful sentence about Plato and said that the entire history of Western philosophy is nothing but footnote to Plato. You know the meaning of footnote. Footnote is what is usually seen at the bottom of any page. There will be some asterisk mark and some note is given there. That is called a footnote. A note at the foot of the page. That is called a footnote. So he said that the whole history of Western philosophy is nothing but footnote to Plato. Plato is the main substance, and the whole other history of thought is simply a footnote. So this is to show the importance of Plato's influence on the world, on the philosophy of the West. So that if you do not know Plato, in any case you don't understand the whole history of Western philosophy. This is the second thing that I told you about. The third thing I told you about was the place of Plato in the history of thought, at least of Western thought. Now this I have shown you in some detail. But I shall repeat it because it is very important. I have said that Plato is something like a sunset, not sunrise. That is to say, Plato comes in the evening of civilization, not in the morning of civilization. The morning of civilization starts with the rise of the sun. That means much before Plato, civilization had started. And the sun had risen to a great height. And then it had begun to decline. And at the time of Plato, sun was about to set. It was sunset. Now you see the sunset, it is full of splendor. What is happening in the morning, the splendor of the dawn, is to be seen also in the evening. The sun, as it were, becomes golden and casts rays. You can see the rays of the sun. And beautiful colors are spread over the sky. So it almost looks like a beginning of the day. If you are not aware of all that has happened in the past, you might say, oh, here is the sunrise. It's almost like that. So when you read Plato, you see so much of splendor in it that you might say, here is the beginning. But if you study the whole history, then you will find, oh, it is the evening light. But in the evening also the sun casts its great splendor. And that is the splendor you find in Plato. After Plato, of course, it was an evening, and then gradually the light began to fade out. And then in the history of thought we find night coming. And then there was a midnight. This is called the medieval period of the West. It is called the Age of Darkness. And then comes again, after the midnight, and then once again, if you study the history of Western thought, then there is another dawn, sunrise. This is what is called the period of Renaissance. In the 15th century, the Renaissance starts. And then, since then, the mankind is going to a morning. And now we are preparing for the noons of the future. You know, Sri Aurobindo has said, we do not belong to the dawns of the past, but to the noons of the future. So we are now preparing for the noon. So we all who are the children of the present age are the children preparing for the noon. So it is in that historical perspective we must understand our own place. Just as we understand the place of Plato, similarly we should understand our own place in the history of development. We are all children. Sri Aurobindo has spoken of all of you as sun-eyed children. You have the eyes of the sun, as if your eyes are made of the sunlight. And that is your gift. It is as if the whole civilization has given a gift, and you are therefore the sun-eyed children. It has a big responsibility also. It's a big gift. Because you have to be really sun-eyed. You have to be very brilliant in your eyes. So, to come back to Plato, Plato represents a splendid light of the sun when it was about to set, an evening sunset of light. But so splendid, so marvelous, that it can be dazzling even. So when you study Plato, you will see the splendor of life in Plato. But we have to remember that he was actually a child as compared to some forefathers who were great giants of light. There is a big story of the Western development. It is said that in the beginning there was the rule of Apollo. You know, Apollo is a Greek god. He is called the Greek god of sunlight. So in the beginning was the rule of Apollo. Then came a period when the kingdom was given to Pallas Athene. A-T-H-E-N, Athene. Athene is a goddess of reason. Reason is supposed to be only a ray light, a ray of light. Sun is a light of multitudes of rays, whereas reason is only one ray. So see the difference between the rule of Apollo and the rule of Athene. So after the rule of Apollo, it sat down, and then came the rule of Athene. After the sunlight, after the luminous knowledge in the west, as in the east, there came the period of the rule of Athene. It is because of that reason you have heard the word Athens. Athens is even today the capital of Greece. And the word Athens has come from Athene, because Athens was created to worship Athene. She was the goddess of reason. And when that rule of reason with the pinnacle, the highest light, the highest splendor, Athens rose to the height of its glory. So we have therefore, at the time of particularly Pericles, Pericles is the name to be remembered. Pericles was one of the leaders of Greece. And when Pericles ruled Athens, Athens reached to the heights of its climax. After the reaching of that height came a downward curve, and then comes Plato in the downward curve. There is a very beautiful poem written by Sri Aurobindo. Perhaps if you have time, we shall read together that whole poem. When your long patience of sitting down for 8 hours at a stretch, then we shall read that poem, because it's a poem is to be read at a stretch. It is called Ilion. Ilion means Troy. One of the greatest events of world history is the siege of Troy, when Troy was attacked. There was a siege, so many enemies surrounded Troy. When you go to your atlas, try to find out where is Troy. You will find Greece on one side, then you will find a sea, because Greece was on the coast basically. Then there is a sea, and on the other side, facing Greece, on this side, on the eastern side, is a series of mountains called Mount Ida, I-D-A, Mount Ida. And it is a portion of an area which was called Phrygia, P-H-R-Y-G-I-A, Phrygia. So on the top of the hill of Ida, was this golden town called Troy. Troy had reached a very great height of glory and splendor and wealth. It was a town full of golden towers, it was said, so much of wealth. It was a town given to the worship of Apollo, of light. And it was a town of laughter and joy. So wealth, light and joy. This was the glory of Troy.